Morning, everybody. How are we doing?
Good.
Is this a few more empty seats than normal, or are you getting ready for Halloween?
Yeah.
No costumes?
No.
Yeah, I got...
What are you
let's see. We had a Puss in Boots from Shrek, Yoda, that's the one-year-old, and Luke Skywalker. That's Luke. Luke loves Luke Skywalker.
One-year-old Yoda?
That's
great. Yeah, because the two oldest, they're big Star Wars fans, so they're always, Jake is Han Solo, Luke is Luke Skywalker. I'm usually either Darth Vader or the Emperor. It's great. It's great. I've got a Darth Vader mask in my office. I'm sure the players are wondering what that's for. It's for when I Skype with them. I hope nobody ever walks in when that's happening. So the little one is Yoda.
Your players in the off season, if you
Just walk in with that mask on. Well, I'm sure some would argue have that mask on. But it's fun. I know the Star Wars opera symphony is coming to Cleveland. So I had to watch that documentary last Friday about the making of. So yeah, good times. What we're going to do, you saw yesterday, continuing to emphasize tackling. Got it a couple days this week. We've been doing it since training camp. We're going to keep doing it. That, to me, is such a fundamental skill. It's something that can improve and needs to improve across the board. Also helps our offensive players with running with the football, yards after the catch, understanding where a defender's leverage is, how to attack it. And I've been doing that for years, all the different places I've been, and believe in it. And I thought that defensively we had a good day. I thought we had a really good day yesterday with the communication, and I can't stress that enough. I can't emphasize that enough. The ability to identify what they're in, what the check is, what to anticipate, and do it quickly is key. And I thought they did a nice job with that. And everybody has to understand it. Everybody has to take part in it. That, to me, is another skill that is developed as it improves, we improve. Offensively, I think that there's some things that we need to clean up from yesterday that we'll do here today in all three areas, whether it be the routes, the protection, the reads. It is a little bit different package than what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, but I feel like we're getting closer to understanding how to deal with it. And it's a different type of front in terms of the way they penetrate versus some of the other teams that have been a little bit more reacting. So we're making some strides there as well. And what we'll do today is clean up those things, work on the red zone, and ideally finish the week practice-wise on a good note. So with that, open up to questions.
Can you talk about the notion of using Josh Cribbs as a running back? Nobody ever seems to really think that's a good idea for whatever reason.
It's done some of that in the past and don't love making comparisons between guys, but with Brad Smith, where you could get into a multiple wide receiver set. So say you had four wide receivers on the field and a tight end. So traditionally, that would be an empty formation. Everybody would be out because you don't have a running back. But we'd take Brad at times, motion him back into the backfield, and now you're in a three wide receiver, tight end, and running back set, and you can run those types of plays with a guy like that. So they have to deal. It's one personnel group which presents one set of issues, but you're creating another one because that guy does have some running back skills. It takes time. It takes a lot of work by the player and the group to get that. It's something that we've done a little bit of. Josh has played a lot of different roles with the Wildcat, the receiver. So you have to build the package as you go.
So why do people think of him you know, like in the beginning, even when you first came in, why did you look at him and say, let's do this receiver thing instead of let's try him at running back?
Because he does have really good hands. He is strong when he's running his routes. He's good with run after the catch. So it's not that you don't think he's going to be as good in the other role, but you think that he's got a chance to keep developing, potentially be really good in that role. And also, you know, our receiver group first got here was in a bit of a state of flux, and thought that was an area where needed to develop depth.
When I was asking you yesterday about Kenyon Coleman, then you started talking about Alex Mack. You know, they beat it out there for every snap. I kind of cut you off, but
it's probably boring.
No, actually, because I want to get you talking about Kenyon Coleman. But talk about that trade now. You know, halfway through the season, about how do you think it has worked out for you?
Well, I like the players that we got. I think that you know, if you look at Kenyon's production versus the other D linemen that were available high in the draft where our initial spot was, and the production he's had and the play time that he's had, that's been a plus decision. Alex has started every snap, and I think he gets a little bit better each week. I don't think last week was his best week, but he's also, as a young guy, we all need to practice. We all need that. And I think even especially with the younger guys at a position that has as much communication as the center does and as many variations the center does, it's hard to get those days back that you miss in practice, where some of the veteran guys who have years of experience can relate things back. He's building that experience each time he plays and each time he practices. So I've liked things that he's done. Same thing with Abe. Brett's been in his role, and that's really the role that I saw him having when he came here. So I think there are a lot of pluses with him.
Because it was the Jets and they took a high profile quarterback, did you and George determine, no, we really don't need a quarterback at that spot?
Well, you look at all the players available, but you know, having DA and Brady here, it was important to me to see those guys, and I liked working with those guys, and I liked the things that they brought to the table. So it wasn't really our mindset in terms of that position going into the draft, and that wasn't part of the equation.
Sorry, just one more then to follow up. So what you had seen from them in the whatever off-season program there was leading up to the draft, did you have a pretty good idea what you had in both those quarterbacks?
Well, it's like anything else. You look at what they've done based on the systems they were in and getting to know them and going through that experience, but you also have to then see them in your system, the things that you're asking them to do, getting to know them through the course of the season, all those things come into play. And you may feel like you have a really good handle on a guy, but it's as you go through the season, you know them much better than you did coming into it.
Eric, you spoke at times this year about Brian Rubisky and also about Coy Francis needing to show show their stuff on special teams and first. And I'm curious, isn't there a possibility also that a guy who maybe isn't doing particularly well on special teams might be progressing very, very well at their positions and warrant playing time at their positions, even if they're not doing well on special teams or particularly well on special teams?
Yeah, you look at both sides of it, but they really have to beat somebody out at their position in order for that to be the dominant part of the decision-making process, or play a role on substituted defenses that's significant. But if they're not doing either one of those things and you bring them to the game and they're not giving you reps on teams, it's you can't do it. And
it can't be decided completely separately from you know, if a guy is doing it. Just for instance, Corey Francis was doing was showing that he was the best guy for the job at a cornerback position. Not to talk about him specifically, but I'm just saying whether he's not doing well, especially
definitely.
Doesn't matter.
Definitely, if you've carved out a role somewhere else, the most important thing is what is the role? What is the game day role? And the role can take a lot of different shapes. If you're the star, the third defensive back playing in the slot, are you a substituted safety? Are you the third wide receiver? You know, what is your role? How are you contributing on game day? And you want to be able to make sure that the 45 guys that you bring there are all adding value to the game. And some of the reps that you take off somebody else allows them to play better at their spot. And what you don't want to do is bring someone to a game, give them reps because you feel like they should have reps, but it's not what's best. Does that make the distinction make sense?
Hey, Eric, how much does the tight end health issues, I know it's been different, Rob didn't practice Wednesday and then Greg not yesterday, how much does that affect the game plan?
Well, it was tough last week, I can tell you, because we had both those guys down. Greg had played, had been here a little while with Gaines. He had just come in. Hank had played a role there to some degree, sort of hoping that one of those other two guys, whether it be Robert or Steve, could go. Weren't sure. We had the flu element. Vickers was out. So Gaines had to play some fullback as well as play some tight end. There were a lot of moving parts. Now the good news is for Gaines, he's been here an extra week, and he has some exposure to those different spots, and we've gotten Lawrence back, and Steve's been able to go to some degree. Robert's been able to go to some degree. Greg's been able to go to some degree. So is it as clear as you'd like it to be? No, but at least it's moving in that direction, which is good.
Game plans, like one, you know, if we have two of the tight ends we line up, and then one if, you know, it's only going to be Gaines is the only healthy guy, or would you just say maybe we should scale back the tight end this
well,
week?
Yeah, but there's not really a group that you have where you can, it's 21, there's a tight end, 12, there's two tight ends, 11, there's a tight end, you're kind of down to 20 personnel, which is two backs, three wide receivers, or 10, one back, four wide receivers. And that's what you're working with at that point. But you try to build some flexibility with the play. So Hank may be able to be an inline guy like he has been. And going back to, I know, a long time ago, and I've said a lot, the whole concept of building the flexibility. Okay, who can play here? Who can fill in here? In case you get into spots like this where you have moving parts or you don't know what exactly the equation is going to be come Sunday because you're working through it during the week.
The Packers said after the game that they've been practicing against Blitz and Elam, you know, that play all week. I mean, is that you're not just doing a good enough job disguising it, or have teams just caught, did they catch on to it after a couple of weeks? Or?
I think that when you win the game, there's a lot of stuff that a lot of decisions that look really good, and you know, you wish. We run a lot of different things out of that set, and if they were able to pick that up, I think that was good job by them. I think that play could have been minimized if we'd made the tackle, and it's like anything else, you take a chance. You should go for 15, not for whatever it went.
Situations?
Yeah. We, you know, we bring a lot of different guys just based on formation, and I think Abe has done a good job when he has blitzed. It was a quick pass, so wasn't going to get home either way, and at that point, you just make the tackle.
In retrospect, how concerned are you at this point about the intensity that you didn't see in the last game that you wished you saw?
Well, the one thing I've been really pleased with is the 3 weeks prior, I thought that we were really getting a sense of how we had to play each game. And sometimes there's setbacks, but there's a way that you have to do it. And we had been moving closer to understanding that. And it's you gotta learn from it, and you gotta be able to come back and do those other things that we've been looking for, because there was progress there, and you don't want to take a step back to move forward.
With the offensive struggles, you know, some people point to Brian; it's his first year calling plays, and blah blah. How satisfied have you been with his work, and have you, or do you ever consider taking on a bigger role with the offense?
I try to help out in all three areas and be involved in all three areas to whatever capacity I can and in whatever positive way that I can. And I have an understanding of what we're doing, why we're doing it, the thought process, what our next steps are. If those things that we plan for aren't working, what's our alternative, which base plays we're going to go back to, or if it looks a little bit differently, what's the next move? I think offensively, I think collectively, there's not one area where you can say, okay, that's exactly what we want. And I don't think you'll ever find that. There's plenty of things that everybody can do better. We can throw the ball better. We can catch the ball better. We can coach better. We can pick up blitzes better. There's plenty of areas to improve. And it's not, believe me, it's not just offensively.
Is it hard after a game, rough game?
Most coaches I've been around, they all take it hard. You enjoy the win for about a half hour, and then the losses tend to stick longer. But you have to move on, and you get the next team, the next opportunity, and you look at it objectively and correct it and move forward. All right, guys. Good. Happy Halloween, all right? Take care.